Good morning. Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. In the final hours of winter, the boys of summer made a deal ending the 32-day spring training lockout. Baseball Commissioner Faye Vincent announced in New York early today the regular season will begin a week late on April 9th.
It's been a difficult process, but on the other hand, we have reached an agreement.
More from Howard Cannon of WCBS Radio, who covered the early morning announcement.
The lockout will not easily be forgotten. Spring training economies across Florida and Arizona were devastated. Vacation plans were ruined. Vincent knows baseball has suffered a black eye, but he says he's not worried.
I believe the recuperative powers of baseball are very strong.
American League President Dr. Bobby Brown says training camps will open tomorrow, and from there, it's full speed ahead.
The first exhibition game will take place on Monday the 26th. We certainly are looking at the opening of the season on April the 9th.
The lockout was the brainchild of Brewer owner Bud Selig, who says he'll not apologize because in his mind, it saved the season.
There won't be any 1981 and 1990.
When the players struck for more than 7 weeks in mid-season. While the owners were having their say, the Player Association's executive director Don Fear and management's chief negotiator Chuck O'Connor were finalizing the deal.
Hopefully, both sides can start to build a relationship on a lot of hard work that was put into this.
The task now, it seems to me, is to see if the wounds of this kind of a process can be healed as quickly as possible.
For now, the 1990 baseball season will be 4 games short, but the two sides say they will try to find a way to play all 162 games. Howard Cannon for CBS News, New York.
Public school teachers are returning to classrooms in West Virginia this morning, ending their 11-day strike. The two unions involved agreed over the weekend to obey a court order while they appeal it. They did not win the raise for which they walked out. Only an agreement for state legislative leaders to study a pay package. Greyhound and its striking bus drivers seem farther apart than ever. Talks broke off yesterday after just an hour, with the company saying it will no longer deal with terrorists. The union condemned the continuing attacks on Greyhound buses and called the company desperate. About 11 million East Germans voted yesterday in their first free election, giving a resounding victory to a conservative coalition allied with West Germany's Chancellor Helmut Kohl. We get the story from CBS News Chief European Correspondent Tom Fenton.
The message from the East German voters is clear. They want union with West Germany as soon as possible, and after 41 years of communism, they have opted for capitalism. The Christian Democrats, with two other smaller parties, surprised most observers by winning almost 50% of the vote. Their main election promise was quick reunification. The left-wing Social Democrats, who expected to win, got less than 22% of the vote, only slightly more than the reformed Communist Party. The huge vote won by the Christian Democrats is expected to make their leader, Lothar de Maizière, East Germany's first and last freely elected prime minister. He is proposing a grand coalition with the Social Democrats to lead East Germany into reunification. A parliamentary coalition with more than two-thirds of the seats could simply declare a merger with West Germany. Tom Fenton, CBS News, Berlin.
The Social Democrats have now rejected a partnership with the Conservative Alliance, citing a campaign pledge that it would not join forces with the right-wing German Social Union, which is part of the alliance. Even though Soviet President Gorbachev has ruled out a military crackdown in breakaway Lithuania, Soviet troops are on maneuvers there today, the Kremlin's deadline for discussing a rollback of a declaration of independence. More from Barry Peterson in Moscow.
Mikhail Gorbachev is trying to talk his way out of Lithuania's demand for independence, meeting today with the Lithuanian delegation. Gorbachev told the Republic last week their declaration of independence was invalid. Responded the Lithuanians, "These are statements from a foreign country which don't affect us." This nation's parliament is also talking secession, considering how a republic should secede, a right already guaranteed by the Soviet Constitution. And as votes are counted from weekend elections for local parliaments in Latvia and Estonia, pro-independence candidates are doing well. It may be days before all the returns are in. Independence leaders in those republics, as well as Georgia and Ukraine, are watching the Lithuanian situation to see if and when they should make the break from the Kremlin's rule. Barry Peterson, CBS News, Moscow.
Interest rate anxiety led to some panic stock selling in Tokyo today. Bill Whitaker reports.
The Tokyo stock market took another big tumble today, falling more than 1,300 points, more than 4% in massive selling. It was the market's third largest single-day plunge ever, closing at a 14-month low. As the Tokyo stock market continued to slide, the U.S. dollar continued to soar, reaching a three-year high of 153.55 yen. The nosedive was triggered by the same gremlins that have bedeviled the market all year: fear of rising interest rates and the dollar's unflagging strength. Stock analyst John Baldwin says the market is likely to drop even further.
The 1961 bear market here lasted essentially 4 years.
Investors still reeling from earlier drops are taking a wait-and-see approach, hoping the market will stabilize. Bill Whitaker, CBS News, Tokyo.
The bears are also running on Wall Street, where the Dow Industrials are right now down 15 and three-quarter points. In European trading, the dollar is mixed. London gold is up slightly at $401.25 an ounce. The land of the rising sun has orbited the moon. A tiny Japanese satellite was released by a larger satellite to study lunar gravity. Until now, only the U.S. and Soviet Union had achieved lunar orbit. NASA reportedly has discovered a serious flaw in the planned $30 billion space station Freedom. The New York Times reports Freedom cannot be built as designed because its vast array of parts would start to break down before construction is finished. A worldwide hunt is on for some priceless paintings stolen yesterday from a Boston museum in one of the biggest art thefts ever. Richard Schlesinger reports.
The gates at the Isabella Gardner Museum will stay locked while authorities search for clues in the daring weekend heist. Dave Walsh is with the Boston Police Department.
There are some significant paintings missing. As by significant as a couple of Rembrandts and a Vermeer. Ballpark figure on the cost is about $200 million.
Officials say the museum's elaborate surveillance system made no difference. Two men wore police uniforms and fooled the security guards.
They were allowed into the building. The two security guards were cuffed and the theft then occurred.
Besides the fear of damage to the works, considered among the most precious by the old Dutch and French masters, museum officials are also stunned by what the theft does to the museum. Karen Haas is the curator.
We do not buy or sell works of art, so we really are not concerned with their monetary value in that they are priceless in our eyes.
The FBI says there might have been other accomplices in this theft and widened the search internationally. Richard Schlesinger, CBS News, New York.
Floodwaters are receding in Elba, Alabama, but officials say it will be days before most of the 3,000 evacuees will be able to return. Water from the Pea River reached the rooftops of some buildings. Floodwaters are still rising this morning along the Alabama River in Montgomery and Selma. At least 500 people have been evacuated in that area. Time on the roundup, 10 past the hour.